We're in this series called The Gift. And let me just share how we came about this series. I got our staff, I got some of our worship arts leaders, and we all came together in early October, I think it was. And I asked them the question. We had a whiteboard. And I asked them, what do you need to hear this Christmas? And everybody started whiteboarding stuff. And then I asked them, what do you think the church needs to hear? And then we began listing all those things. And then we circled the top five things that our team felt like they needed to hear and you needed to hear. And in week one, we talked about the gift of hope. What we said is that if there's ever a time that people need hope, it's now. Like, hope is not wishful thinking. Hope is confident assurance that what God said will come to pass, that he's faithful to his promises, and is that hopeful expectation, that confident expectation that God has a good plan for us, that God has a good future for us. And Jeremiah says, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. The gift of hope. Then in week two, we talked about the gift of peace. If there's ever a time we need the gift of peace, is now, right? Peace. Peace is not the absence of problems. We said peace is the presence of Jesus in problems. Because if you have Jesus, you have peace. A peace that transcends all understanding, which guards your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And then last week, all I kept hearing was, oh, it was the best message in the series. Yeah. They were right. Pastor Ruth preached on the gift of God's presence. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. So Jesus has these gifts. He has the gift of hope. He has the gift of peace. He has the gift of his presence. And today, we have the perfect gift for us today. You guys ready? The gift of joy. Joy. Joy to the world. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. How many could use a little more joy in the world today, right? How many could use a little more joy in our lives? It just seems lately like, man. So as we begin this message about joy, I want us to think about, as you look at your past and look at your life, think about maybe one of those two incredibly joyful moments that you've had in your life. Think about it. Think about those moments that you were just flooded with joy and happiness. Like whenever you go back to that moment, whenever your memory takes you to that moment, you get all the warm and fuzzies, the goosebumps, and it's like maybe a tear comes to your eye. Think about that moment where you experienced incredible joy. For me, it was October 1999. I was sitting there in disbelief that my team was about to win the World Series. Church, I was there. 1999. I just need to sit down a minute because I'm just getting overwhelmed and flooded. It was a lifelong dream. Thank you, Pastor Glenn. Thank you. A lifelong dream for me just to go to a World Series. But to see them win it, I'm not lying. This is not an act. This is true. To see them win it. So this is the backstory. They were up 3-0. They're playing at home. My best friend, Troy, here he is. Here's Troy, there's Troy. This is us, that's us. My best friend, Troy, says, Joe, my aunt can get us tickets. Do we do game 4? Or game 5? Because if they lose game 4, then they win it in game 5. I says, Troy, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that must come to him must believe that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. We are going to game 4 because they are going to win this thing. Roger Clemens pitched one of the best games of his life. Two outs, top of the ninth. The closer comes in. It's over. Yankees win. The Yankees win. And I started hugging people I didn't know. Kissing people I didn't know. Not women, men. I just kissing men I didn't know. And no lie, we were family. Here's an original ticket stub, okay? I sit to my office. Here's a program. Look at that. Wow. Unbelievable. Program. And it was just like celebratory. Like we just partied in a Christian way because I was still a pastor. But then we went to the streets of the Bronx. And there we are high-fiving lines, high-fiving people. It was just the most incredible, joyful, see, I got goosebumps, joyful moment. Of course, outside of marriage, guys. Come on, guys. Of course, marriage was, of course, outside of salvation. Yes, that was the most incredible moment of my life when I gave my life to Christ. And of course, when my bride said yes, and we said, I do. And then when our kids are born, there's nothing more exciting than that, right? We all know that. But I want you to take a moment and think about joy. Like, not just like, oh, I'm happy. Like that moment that just floods your soul. And this is what we do. We connect joy with the feelings of happiness because of what is happening. So when we look back at our life, we look for joyful moments because good things were happening in our lives. And maybe your mind took you back to a place where you were newly married, or maybe your mind took you to a place when you were married, or maybe your mind took you to a place when you got divorced. That might have been the happiest. We'll keep going. Pray for me, church. Things come to my mind. Lord Jesus, keep it in check. And we go through life, we think about the kids and all these joyful moments. Joy is connected to what's happening. But let me ask you this question. What happens to our joy when difficult things start happening? What happens when we're in a season of difficulty? Or what happens when we're in like 22 months of difficulty? What happens when things don't go our way? What happens when life brings problems? What happens when our kids are just not doing what they're supposed to do? What happens when we might lose our jobs? What happens when we do lose our jobs? What happens when we do have problems in our marriage? What happens when we have problems in life? What happens to our joy when we face difficult things? And this is what I believe. I believe a lot of us have lost our joy because of what's happening. What's happening? So through life, what we try to do is fix that, because we try to orchestrate good things to happen, and we try to put ourselves in situations where we're happy again, because we want to have that feeling of joy. We want to have that feeling of happiness. So this is what we do. When our joy is connected to what's happening, we start what? Happy hunting. And this is when people start saying, you know what? I just need to get a new job. I just need to get a different house. I just need to get a different spouse. I just need to change my geographical location. I need to do something to make me happy because I'm not happy. And the reason why I'm not happy is because of what is happening. And if we look back at these past couple years, or maybe for you it was years, and you're looking back and you're like, you know what, there hasn't been a lot of great things happening, and maybe I've had moments of happiness, but that's not the kind of happiness or joy God wants you to have. God wants you to walk in joy regardless of your circumstances. God wants you to walk in joy regardless of what's happening in the world. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you lose your joy, you lose your strength. And this is what I've learned, that joy is not dependent upon what's happening, but on what has happened. That's where joy comes from. Not on what's happening in my life. First of all, it comes from what happened? You're like, well, wait, Pastor, what happened? Well, 2,000 years ago, in Matthew chapter 2, verse 8, darkness covered the earth. There was hopelessness. There was despair. God's people were under Roman rule. They were being held under the Roman oppression. And to add things, to make things even worse, God had not spoken to his people for over 400 years. I have a hard time not hearing from God for like 4 days, 4 weeks, 4 months. I'm like, whoa, something's going on. 400 years. Darkness covered the earth. There was discouragement. There was despair. There was a lack of a prophetic voice. But in the midst of that, God speaks to his people. We read it, Matthew 2, verse 8 says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them. I love that he came at night. Isn't that so awesome? In the darkness of our lives, in the difficulty of our lives, God always shows up. And it says, the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. And verse 10 says, but the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I bring you what, church? Good news that will cause great joy for all people. And I just came to tell you today that you may not have much joy or happiness because of what's happening in the world today, but I just want to remind you of what happened 2,000 years ago. There is good news. There is good news for you today, and there is good news for me today, and for them, there was great news that would cause great joy. So what were they thinking? Well, what's the good news? We're going to be free from oppression. God's going to speak. What's the good news? God's going to provide for us. God's going to help us. What's the great news? And that's where some of us are at today. We want to hear good news, but we're looking at the wrong news. And this is what they're saying. This is what the angel said. I will have good news that will cause great joy for all people. What was the great news? I guess the Lord wants us to wait a second here. Today in the town of David, what? A Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord, the one you've been looking for, the very thing you need. A Savior has been born. What you need, and this is what the angel of the Lord is saying to them, is what you need more than anything else is a Savior. You don't need necessarily for God to fix all your problems. What we all need is salvation. What we all need is healing. What we all need is forgiveness of sin. So if we push the pause button for a moment and take a step back, church, there is good news that in spite of what's going on, a Savior was born 2,000 years ago. And whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That is the good news that brings great joy. And there's nothing or no one in this world that can rob or steal the joy that God brings through his son, Jesus Christ. Regardless of what we're going through, listen, it's not about what's happening. It's about what's happened. And this baby was born in Bethlehem, would grow up to be a man, and he would die on a cross for you and for me. And we who could not save ourselves, God sent a son to save us. And by faith in the sacrifice of Jesus, we become the righteousness of God. We become sons and daughters of God. We become children of God. Church, I just want to encourage you to flip your focus. Stop focusing on what's happening and start focusing on what's happened. What's happened in your life, what's happened in the past, what Jesus has done for you. And when I look back and see what God has done for me. In light of what's happening, I have this confident assurance that I'm going to be okay, that God's got me, that I'm his child, I'm his son, I'm a king's kid, I am favored of the Lord, I've been anointed by God, I've been empowered, I've been filled, I've been covered by his blood. No weapon formed against me will prosper. What the enemy means for evil, God will turn it around and make it for good. That he promises to work all things together for my good. He promises to do that. That's what brings me joy. I flip my focus from what's happening to what's happened 2,000 years ago. Church, come on now. That's why the writer of Hebrews, he writes this. He said, well, first of all, flip your focus, right? He says this, I was going to say shoot. Because I know people are like, what? See, some of y'all were sleeping until I said, shh. You're like, finally, he's talking my language. He said, fix our eyes on Jesus. It's not what's happening. It's what's happened. Flip your focus from what's going on in this world to Jesus. He is the pioneer and perfecter. I love another translation. He says he's the author and the perfecter of our faith. And what did Jesus do? He set joy before him. Joy is not a feeling. It's not an emotion. Joy is a focus. It's a focus. I could sit in Yankee Stadium. Clap, yeah. But how many know that feeling and emotion is fleeting? It's temporary. But what Jesus gives is everlasting, is eternal. That's why you have to flip your focus to what's happening in this world and think about what Jesus has done for you. Now, it doesn't mean that you're not informed. You're informed, but that's not my focus. My focus is on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of my faith, for the joy set before him. Now, look what Jesus did. He was about to endure the cross. That's what it says. He endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. But why did Jesus set joy before himself? Was it because of what was happening? No, my friends. It wasn't because of what was happening. He set joy before him because of what was going to happen. Church, joy is not based on what is happening, but also it's based on what's going to happen. What's going to happen? Jesus set joy before him, not because of the pain, but because he knew what the sacrifice, what his sacrifice would produce. He knew what was going to happen. That's why he was able to set joy before him. And that's why James tells us, count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you fall into trials of different kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. You know that the problem and that the trial you're going through is going to produce something in you. You know that there's something great that's going to come out of the difficulty. There's something great that's going to come out of the challenges. You have joy, not because of what is happening, because of what's happened, but because of what's going to happen. What's going to happen. And I can know this. I'm not joyful about what's happening in this world today. I'm not joyful about what's happening in people's lives. But this is what brings me joy. I know what happened in the past. And I know what God's going to do in the future. I know he's going to work out his purposes in me. I may not understand it. I may be confused by it. But I'm not going to allow what's happening to steal what God wants to do in me. I'm not going to allow what's happening to rob my joy and rob my peace. peace. I'm not going to allow what's happening in this world to steal the joy that God has set before me. But my friends, you may think, well, what's going to happen? First of all, we know that God works all things together for our good. We know that God's working in us to mature us through the trials and troubles. When we look back at this season of our lives, I have a funny feeling we're going to say, thank you, Lord. Not for what happened, but what for happened in me. What you've done in me. How many are already grateful for what God has done in us and through us in this season of our lives? That's why I have joy, because I am stronger than I was in March 2020. I have more faith than I did in March 2020. That's why when they speak crazy, when things are happening, when there's uncertainties of the future, I can remain strong. I can remain steadfast because I know God's got me. If he's taken me through 22 months, he's going to take me through the next 22 months. I may not know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. Joy is not based on what's happening. It's based on what's happened. And what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Well, I love this verse, and Paul writes, let's just take a moment. Let's push the pause button. Let's go back a little further. Let's take a helicopter view about what's really going to happen. Do you want to know what's really going to happen in the future? Anybody? You want to know what's really going to happen? The scriptures tell us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, brothers and sisters, we don't want you to be uninformed about what's going to happen. We don't want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have what? No hope. Don't be like those who have no hope. I've given you the gift of hope. I've given you the gift of peace. I've given you the gift of presence. I have given you the gift of joy, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Yes? We believe Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who fall asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, us, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven. Church, that's what's coming. That's what's coming. With a loud command and the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Church, that's what brings me joy, that earth is not my home. This is not my eternal destination. This is my present situation, but this is not my destination. My destination is to be with God forever in heaven, where he's prepared a place for me. He's prepared a mansion for me. He's prepared a place for you and for me. That's what brings me joy. That everything in this world is going to pass away. Everything is passing away. And the only thing that remains is the Lord. It's those who place their faith and confidence in the Lord. Those who trust in Jesus. Those who stand on his word. Those who have the faith to believe that our best is yet to come. That heaven is my home. Come on, church. That's where my joy comes from. My joy comes from the Lord. My joy comes from the Lord. The creator of the heavens and the earth. That's why Paul writes in Romans, he says this, he says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. That's why he writes that. It's no comparison. The pain and the suffering and the difficulties that we're experiencing are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us, church. Church, hold on to your faith, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy is not the absence of problems. Joy is not dependent upon what's happening in your life right now. Joy is based on what has happened in the past and what's going to happen in the future. So, church, I declare today, it's time to get your joy back. It's time to get your joy back. It's time to get your joy back. Come on, church. There's enough Scrooges in the world today. It's time to get your joy back. And the way you get your joy back is to flip your focus. Flip your focus. Set joy before you. Set Jesus before you, the author and the perfecter of your faith. Continue to trust him with the future. Continue to depend upon him. And regardless of what's happening in your life, you know there's a greater purpose. That the joy of God, of the Lord, will be my strength. Let's bow in prayer together. As your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I know today there's some of you today that say, you know, Pastor, I need my joy back. If that's you, if you need your joy back, just lift up your hand right where you're at. Say, Pastor, I need my joy back. Yes. Let's pray together. Say, I need my joy back. Come on. Let's pray together. I need my joy back. I need my joy back. I need my joy back. Lord, I pray right now for every person here today, Lord. I pray that you would fill them with joy, fill them with peace, fill them with your presence, Lord. Lord, I'm reminded of Psalm 51 in which you said, or which David wrote, restore the joy of my salvation. Today, I pray you restore joy for your people here today. Restore joy to your house today. Restore joy to your church today. Lord, let the joy of the Lord be our strength today. Can we take a moment and just give God praise and say, Lord, thank you, Lord, because you're taking me through. Thank you, Lord, because you're working in my life. Just as we close today, just say, thank you, Jesus, because you've taken me this far. You're helping me through whatever I'm going through. Lord, thank you for your joy. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Whoever's watching at home, maybe you're sick. Maybe you're lying in a hospital bed. Maybe you're just feeling so dark and down. I pray today that the joy of the Lord fill your strength, fill your give you strength in Jesus' name, that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Lord, right now, restore the joy back to your church. Give us the joy of our salvation, the joy of peace, the joy of knowing you're in complete control, the joy of knowing that one day all of this mess is going to come to an end and that you're establishing your kingdom in heaven. So Lord, we pray on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done, Lord, we pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And we declare, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. If you're here today with your head bowed and eyes closed, and if Jesus came today and you would not be ready, and today you want to be ready, you want to invite Jesus into your heart, maybe you need to rededicate your life to Christ. If that's you, just lift up your hand really high. Say, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to rededicate my life to Jesus. Let's pray this prayer together. Dear Jesus, all of us, dear Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Give me the confident assurance of my salvation as I place my life into your hands. Jesus, I come to you. Fill me with your love. Fill me with your peace and fill me with your joy. I love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. And everybody together said amen. Amen. Anyway, can we give it up for those that prayed that prayer?